Welcome to Audio Journal's Radioactive Theater, bringing quality dramas, comedies, and mysteries to our listening audience from or reminiscent of the golden age of radio. This program is supported in part by grants from 32 cultural councils, local agencies, which are supported by the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency. This program is A Funny Thing Happened, a collection of short, fast, funny plays by a variety of playwrights. First up, dealing with the modern dating scene, is Mary Just Broke Up With This Guy by Garth Wingfield, featuring Janet Kaliak and Andrew Shields.
Are you Mary?
I am. Nice to meet you, Alex.
Likewise.
You want a coffee?
I grabbed the waitress when I came in. She's getting me a latte.
Oh, that's what I'm having.
Oh, so here we are.
Uh-huh. I've got to admit, I'm a little nervous.
Actually, me too.
I just broke up with this guy I've been seeing for a while. Tony was his name, but you don't want to hear about him. I'm kind of rusty at the whole dating thing is all.
Yeah, Sally mentioned something about that when she called. So you and this guy were together for what?
6 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
I know. But enough about him. He's ancient history. You know Sally from Cornell?
Yep. We met the first day of freshman year, if you can believe that. She's great, isn't she?
The best. Everyone at work adores her. And it's kind of funny, actually, because she'd mentioned you a while ago, months ago, I think. She announced at lunch that she had this great single friend named Alex and was just dying to fix him up with someone. Of course, I was with Tony at the time, so I didn't pay much attention. But now here we are.
Life's weird like that, isn't it?
It is.
So how long ago did you and Tony break up?
Tuesday.
Sorry?
This past Tuesday. But it's okay. It's not like I'm on the rebound or anything. That must sound insane. I mean, yes, on some level I probably am on the rebound, but it was over a very long time before we actually ended it. What?
I appreciate your attempt to... You're adorable.
Well, okay. Thanks. You know, this is so much easier than I thought it would be.
What do you mean?
You just seem so normal.
I guess that's a good thing.
Are you kidding? You hear the stories, and I am sort of picky. Please tell me you don't smoke.
I don't smoke.
Thank God, because I could never date a smoker. I mean, I smoked for years. Never gonna go there again.
Good for you.
And I'm hoping you like dogs, because I have one.
I haven't petted a dog in weeks. I can't wait to meet yours.
And I really like going to the theater, mostly off-Broadway stuff.
Oh, then you should see the new John Patrick Shanley.
I saw it. I loved it.
Oh, my God, so did I.
You're kidding.
I'm not.
What a coincidence.
I'm gay.
I'm sorry?
Sally has no idea. It would kill her if she knew. She was completely in love with me in college before she met George, and he became an orthodontist, and they fell into their loveless marriage in Hackensack. Promise me you won't say a word.
Uh-huh.
But you seem really fun. We should go to the theater. You must be Mary.
I am. It's nice to meet you, Tom.
Yeah.
You want a coffee?
I grabbed the waitress. She's whipping me up a chai.
What?
A chai. It's like this infused tea thing.
Oh, I'm having a latte.
Oh.
I've got to admit, I'm a little nervous. I just broke up with this guy I'd been seeing about 6 years, but you don't want to know about that.
Yeah, you mentioned something about that when you answered my personal ad. So you and this guy were together for what?
6 years.
Wow, that's significant.
I know.
And when did you break up?
Like, a while ago.
Give me a ballpark.
3 months?
Damn, so you're totally on the rebound.
No, I'm not at all. And maybe it was more like 4 or 5 months. It's hard to remember.
Wait, you can't remember when you broke up?
Not specifically.
And you were together for 6 years?
That's right.
Something's not right.
You asked me to give you a ballpark.
I remember exactly when I broke up with my last girlfriend, Tanya, and we were only together for like...
It was last Tuesday, okay? 2 Tuesdays ago. And I'm really just gonna go kill myself or something now.
I'm guessing you're Mary.
That's me. It's nice to meet you, Darren.
Yep.
You want a coffee?
I just grabbed the waitress. She's whipping me up some pasta.
I'm having a latte.
That works for me.
I've got to admit, I'm a little nervous. I just broke up with this guy I'd been seeing. Tony was his name. Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
You don't seem nervous.
What?
At all.
Well, I hide it well, I guess.
Apparently. So, yeah, you mentioned your ex on the phone. You and this guy were together for what, 6 years?
Right.
And when did you break up?
Months ago. I could give you a specific date if you want. October 18th. There. I'm so not on the rebound.
I didn't say you were.
I've moved beyond him completely.
Great. So you want to hook up? Your personal ad. What you wrote was really cool.
You thought so?
Yeah, especially the part about rats.
Oh, aren't they somehow repellent and exhilarating at the same time?
Totally. This one time I had a rat in my apartment, and it was huge. And it tormented me, man, landing with a boom on the floor in the middle of the night and making me do somersaults of fear off my futon at 2 a.m. So what I did was I cornered it, and I trapped it, and called my friend Edgar. And I was all, you gotta come over here, man. And he was all, but why? And I was all, just get your ass over here. So we did, and I doused that little fur ball of gasoline, and we kicked back and drank some beers and watched that mother burn. So your ad said you like sushi. I've seen your personal ad on nerve.com for weeks now, and I've always meant to respond.
It hasn't been on there that many weeks.
You wrote some nice things.
Oh, thanks.
Especially the part about God.
I didn't write about God.
And I think that's a problem, don't you? So how many times have you gone to date bait?
That was my first time. I've never done anything like that before.
They all say that.
No, really, it's true.
Uh-huh.
Standing up in front of all those people, it was horrifying.
It gets easier. And why did you write down my number?
I don't know. I thought you were cute. You've got great eyes, a very piercing green.
Yeah, I thought you were cute, too.
Thanks. Also, you said you like dogs.
Right.
I love dogs.
Oh, I was just saying that.
What?
Gets them every time. Women love guys who love dogs. I mean, it's not like I hate dogs or anything. I'm just more of a cat person. Do you have a dog?
No. Do you have a cat?
A couple. Well, 17. Mind if I smoke? I really hate when people give other people crap for smoking in public. If I want to smoke, I'll smoke. Besides, it's sexy.
I feel I should be giving you the benefit of the doubt here, but...
Would this smoke bother you?
Well, a little.
Oh, that I don't have to. I'm trying to quit anyway. It's such a disgusting habit.
Isn't it?
Quick question. Let me show you something. How do you feel about this?
What's that?
My own hair. I've been collecting it for years. I have 67 jars. Is that a disgusting habit, too? Oh, my God. You hate that I'm a smoker.
That's okay.
No, seriously.
No, really, it's okay.
I smoke. It's so gross. Is that a deal breaker?
No.
Thank God. So tell me what you do.
I'm an editor at Time Out.
Fun.
Yeah, but it pays nothing. And you?
Certified public accountant.
That's a deal breaker.
Wow, you're an editor at Time Out.
It's okay. It pays nothing, but I get to go to a lot of free screenings and stuff.
That's a nice perk.
And what do you do?
I'm in the entertainment business.
Oh?
Come on. Look at me. Well, I am sort of in the industry. I'm in marketing. Sales and marketing. Videos. The triple X kind. I'm a kindergarten teacher. You should see my kids. I'm a massage therapist for birds and reptiles. I'm a lawyer. 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 Entertainment lawyer.
Oh, that sounds interesting. What kind of stuff?
Making deals, negotiating contracts. Alec Baldwin's one of my clients.
Oh, my God. I met him at a party once. He seemed like such a nice guy. I went to the screening of a movie. He wasn't in the movie, but he was there. So at the party afterwards at Chelsea Piers, he was about to eat this gloppy curry shrimp ball thing. And I just walked right into him, splat, all over my blouse. And he made this huge deal, calling over the waiter and getting seltzer and apologizing profusely, even though it wasn't his fault at all. And then he went back to Kim Basinger, and I went back to my friends from work, and it didn't stain, in case you were wondering. So, I don't know if you wanna...
Nah. And I really just adore the Upper West Side.
It's nice up there.
The stores, the park, the well-scrubbed young couples pushing babies in their prams.
I lived up there for a while when I first moved to the city.
And you should come back and visit us again, Mary. We'd welcome you with open arms.
Gordon?
Yes.
It's... The thing is, all those times we chatted online, I had no idea you were British.
Really?
No, you never mentioned it.
Well, I was born in London, but came stateside when I was a child.
Okay, see, I thought you said you were from New Jersey.
Well, we moved to New Jersey when I was 12. Then I went to university here.
Really? It's such a funny thing. I had this image of you after our chats, a very specific image, and I never once thought of you as having an accent.
That's probably because I don't have one.
Sorry?
I was just putting you on.
You were?
You got it.
Why?
Because I'm just really good at the accent thing.
Uh-huh.
And you believed me, didn't you? I love that you believed me. God, you're so great.
Christ, I'm dying for a cigarette. I would kill for a cigarette, actually. I would.
I really liked your website.
Uh-huh. So what's your story?
I'm a carpenter.
What's that supposed to mean?
That I build stuff, like cabinets and benches. Recently, I've been working on a chair with hard-carved legs. It's pine and it's beautiful. It's totally a labor of...
Talk to me.
What can I say? I'm just a regular guy. I love holding hands and spooning in bed at night and waking up and having sex before breakfast. I'm very spiritual. Do you know Marianne Williamson? I can bench press my body weight. I knit. I haven't even said anything yet.
You're right. I'm sorry. Go on.
I like children?
Look, pal, I don't know what you mean by that, but I'm sure it's totally icky.
I thought your website was really great.
What did you like about it?
Oh, I don't know. The way it was designed, all the photos.
And I look like my photos. They're recent photos.
You look just like your photos.
I hate it when people email you their photos and then you meet them at Sparrow's and it turns out the photos were from, like, years ago.
You've done a good job with the photos.
You got that right. I'm going to light one up. Let them stop me. So there.
Would you mind not doing that? I'm kind of asthmatic and I didn't realize you smoked, actually.
Fine.
I guess I should tell you, I've never done this before, met somebody through the internet.
They all say that.
No, but it's true. So tell me about your job.
I don't want to talk about that. It's boring.
Okay, so you like Italian food?
I used to. Too many carbs.
You like the Bronx Zoo, right? I love the Bronx Zoo. The gorilla exhibit made me cry.
Yeah, but have you been recently? The lines are awful.
Look, Mary, I should go.
Just like that?
I think so.
This is perfect. I don't even know your name. Well, one less thing to remember.
It's just, you're not at all what I was expecting from your website. Look, maybe I'm new to this, but you seemed like this really funny madcap sort of... I mean, those photos of you on the cyclone laughing your head off were great, and the picture of you with your dog, and then I meet you in person, and you're... Anyway, it was nice sharing half a latte with you.
Oh, wait, just... What's your name?
Charlie. My name is Charlie.
Look, Charlie, it's been a rough year. A really rough year. Why don't you stay and at least finish your latte?
I'm sorry, I don't think so. Look, I have no business being here in the first place. The thing is, I just broke up with this girl.
Really? How long ago?
Oh, I don't know. Like 3 months ago. 1 month ago. Tuesday.
I think it's kind of perfect that you're here.
But I don't even know what I want.
You'll figure that out.
I'm probably totally on the rebound.
Or maybe not.
I brought pictures of my dog.
You did?
Her name's Venus. She's a Cocker Lab mix.
Oh, my God. Mutts are the best.
Aren't they? You should see how she poses for the camera here.
Oh. Terrific.
Check out next, You Have Arrived by Rob Ackerman, with Heidi Slater as Kristen, Jeff Raymond as Dan, and Cheryl Cusin as Cindy.
You have arrived.
Crap. Where is she? I don't know why I even try.
Dan?
Oh, hey, Kristen.
Hey.
Gosh, I couldn't see you over there.
I told you I'd be here. Red scarf, Converse sneakers.
Yeah, you did.
And you found me, Dan. Way to go.
Well, I didn't. She did.
She?
My navigator.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
I always get lost in these tiny streets, Stanton, Rivington, Ludlow, but she knows where to go.
She's a computer.
No, she's not. She's a receiver, a transponder, cartographic data display device with calibrated voice prompts. She's a navigator. A global positioning system is what she is, really.
A computer, Dan.
Yeah, I guess.
A computer is not a person. You can't personify.
Oh, I love that. In high school? No. I guess maybe it was actually seventh grade. Mr. Trowbridge, he made us learn all those words, words of literature, made us feel all scholarly and philosophical and poetical. I remember all the words, personification, alliteration, irony. Irony was the best. I loved irony. The laughter of the gods. Oh, and euphony and metonymy.
Metonymy?
That's when one thing stands for something else. Like if you say, Dan, that BMW just rear-ended me. It didn't actually rear-end you. It rear-ended your old Subaru Outback, you know?
Does your navigator stand for you, Dan?
No. She's a she. I'm a he.
Main menu.
Oh, I like her voice.
Enter address.
Wow, she's got a great voice. Does she have a name?
Cindy. Yeah, she's Cindy.
I like that. Do you really call her Cindy?
I do now.
Is she easy to use?
My addresses.
Like an iPhone, kinda. You play with her touchscreen and tell her what to do.
Hey, Cindy. I'm on a blind date. Take me to Williamsburg.
Basically.
Previous destinations.
A lot of times I have to go to work at 5 in the morning and hunt for some house in Far Rockaway, and a MapQuest printout just doesn't cut it. So I'm like, if these things ever get below $200, I'm getting one.
Route.
And she was...
$199.99. They're even cheaper now, of course, and they've got better ones that tell you what street you're turning onto and stuff, but she's all right. I mean, she gets the job done.
Calculating route.
So how long have you known Tim?
I dated him in high school.
Was it serious?
It kind of was.
You told me you were cute. You are cute.
Left turn in 0.2 miles.
Thanks, I guess.
So you're a graphic designer?
Well, sort of. I know Photoshop and HTML. I do a lot of temp work.
Join the club. Isn't it weird how there are some things in school that are totally useful and others that are just total crap? And you're like, why do they even bother? You know, like word problems.
Make a left.
Crap. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Where was I?
Word problems.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Word problems are like, if Jack is meeting Sally and it's rush hour, then what time should Jack depart? But who cares? Jack can call Sally's cell and say she's running late. She's probably got an issue with the New Yorker in her purse. She can deal with sitting there and have a frappuccino. You can't just expect Jack to start crunching a bunch of numbers. I mean, geez. Math is screwed.
And metonymy is useful?
Left turn in 0.2 miles.
Sure, Cindy, whatever you say.
I like how she shows us where we are. We're this little arrow just moving along. There's the river. You can see the bridge.
Make a left.
The background is black because it's nighttime. In the daytime, the screen is all green and blue. And if there's a golf course anywhere in the vicinity, she always lets you know. Whoever made this thing is really big on golf courses and country clubs.
Remain on the current road for 1 mile.
Okay.
Yeah, it always weirds me out when she says that. Makes me want to make a quick turn just to tick her off, see how she reacts. But she won't react. She'll just say, calculating route. That's how she copes with human frailty.
Calculating route.
Anything goes wrong, she never gets angry, never loses patience, just says,
calculating route.
Remain on the current road.
Her chime means we've hit some sort of satellite coordinate, I think, but she doesn't always ring her chimes. You can't count on it. Sometimes she does, sometimes she doesn't. She's a little loopy like that.
Keep to the right in 1 mile.
You know, people used to do just fine before they had these things. Ernest Shackleton saved a whole stranded expedition in Antarctica with nothing but a compass and a sextant.
Good for him.
I majored in math with a concentration in geography.
So I guess you like word problems.
I love them.
Keep to the right.
I am keeping to the right.
Don't talk to her like that.
She's a machine.
No, she's Cindy.
Look, I don't have a sextant like Shackleton, and I can't even find my way around Brooklyn, let alone Antarctica. I always end up in Greenpoint circling that stinky sewage treatment plant, and that's not the best way to start a date.
And neither is being insulting to a woman, Dan.
Cindy is not a woman.
She sounds like a woman.
Right turn in 0.2 miles.
Take Kent Street.
Wait for Cindy.
Make a right.
You trust a machine over me. What's your problem?
You know, it's hard being a guy sometimes. First, girls get taller and get boobs, and all we get is zits. Then they turn out to be smarter and more mature, and they're too cool to call us back or call each other pigs.
We call each other pigs. We just don't like it when cute guys call us pigs.
Am I a cute guy?
Well, let me get back to you on that.
Right turn in 0.3 miles.
Thank you, Cindy.
Good, that's better.
I'm sorry about your cat. Tim told me, Mushroom.
Yeah, he was great. He was 12. I had him since sixth grade.
I'm really sorry.
Thanks.
There's one thing that Cindy says.
Make a right turn.
One thing I really like.
What?
You'll see. She'll say it when we get there. It's one of those phrases that means more than it means.
Irony?
Yeah, it's positively fraught with irony, the good kind.
She better not call anybody a pig.
Approaching destination on the right.
You know what you've got, Dan? You've got this weird resentment. You rush to judgment on the basis of stuff that's not there, like, I don't know, like ghosts of girlfriends past or something.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Look, I'm on this date with you, and I kind of hate you. But Tim said you're a good guy. So let's just try to make the best of it, okay? I'm just me. I just met you. And I'm not the girl who hurt your feelings.
Hurt my feelings?
I'm hoping that's what happened. I'm hoping there's a reason you're being such a jerk. We're both nervous. Are we going to like each other, hate each other, hook up? That has yet to be determined, but chill out. Having fun is more important. Having fun might possibly be the most important thing in the world. And almost everyone is pretty bad at it. Now that's ironic.
Uh-huh.
How do you feel about fun, Dan?
I'm okay with it.
So am I.
Kristen?
Yeah?
Let's have fun.
You have arrived.
Next, The Blizzard by David Ives with Julie Standrovich, John McManaman, Alex Shapiro, and Jonna Doyle.
Neil?
It's still coming down. Some of those drifts are 3 feet deep already. What's the matter?
Nothing. I just wondered what happened to you.
Got scared, huh?
No, I wasn't scared. The food's all ready. Do you really think they'll make it up here in this?
Aljo's got those new chains on the car, the ones that Sandy made him fork out for. Just what you'd expect from Miss Rationality.
Right, Mr. Listmaker. Mr. My pencils have to be laid out in the right order on my desk. No, you're not rational. Sandy is rational.
What about the TV?
Nothing. Not a thing.
All the electricity's on, you'd think with a satellite dish we'd pick up something.
The telephone's still out.
They've probably been trying to reach us since they left the city.
There's no radio either.
No radio?
Isn't it great? It's just like an Agatha Christie.
Well, thanks for that. I'm still not used to it, being so remote. Nature's always scared the living crap out of me. Now I'm living in it, or visiting it on weekends anyway. Do you know I saw a bat flapping around out there? I didn't know there were bats in blizzards. No radio. The world could be ending out there, for Christ's sake, and we'd be the last ones to hear about it. No radio.
Yes, we have no radio, and a beautiful blizzard, and a house, and woods, and a mountain that are all ours.
All ours in 29 years and 3 months.
I kind of wish they weren't coming up tonight. It's so cozy. I wouldn't mind curling up with a good book.
I wish you hadn't said Agatha Christie.
You inflict Torturama 1, 2, and 3 on people, and I can't say Agatha Christie?
Those are movies. Not a real house in the middle of the real country with the lines down. And Torturama paid for our little mansion on a hill, babe.
You know what it is about murder mysteries? No, listen. I think the reason people like murder mysteries is that in a murder mystery, everything is significant. The people in murder mysteries are living in a significant world, a world where everything is there for a reason. Even before the murders happened, you know that one is going to happen, and you know that everything is a clue. Or rather, you know that some things are clues, and some things are just obfuscation. They're snow. And you know that everybody has a secret of some kind, a secret that's like a soul. Murder mysteries are religion in a way. Don't laugh. They're life the way you feel it when you're in love, when everything's in a special light, incandescent. They're a couple of hours of everything meaning something, for God's sakes. And then they're over, and you're back to your old life, to real life, to mortgages and pork loin and potatoes and making cherry pie.
So real life doesn't feel like it means something to you these days?
Sure it does. I'm just saying, well, don't we all wish for that in real life? One of those moments when everything feels charged with meaning, when the air is electric?
Well, here's your opportunity. Listen, we're probably going to be totally snowed in. Why don't we all do something different this weekend?
Different? What does different mean?
I don't know. Something unusual. Something unexpected. Not you and Sandy holding yourself up in the kitchen and talking about whatever you talk about. Not me and Joe sitting around talking about mom and dad and what happened in the third grade. And have you seen any movies or did you catch that episode of blah, blah, blah? I don't know. Something we've never done before. But let's talk about something we've never talked about before. Anything. Instead of all the things we usually talk about.
Okay, something unusual. I love it.
Hello, Neil?
Ah, there they are.
Hello, Neil and Jenny, right? Sorry for the cold hand, I'm freezing. God, you're just like Joe and Sandy described you. I can't believe I'm finally meeting you, Neil. I am such a fan of Torturama. All of them. Natasha can't watch them herself. Natasha's squeamish.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Salim and Natasha.
Hello. I'm so happy to encounter you at last. And you, Jenny, you are just as beautiful as Sandy told me. You are exquisite.
And God, what a place up here. But so remote. Wow. We brought this for you. A little housewarming gift.
Whoa. I'm sorry. Maybe there's been a mistake.
I mean, this is the place, isn't it? You're Neil and Jenny. Oh, Right. Where are Joe and Sandy? Middle of a snowstorm? Two strange people walk in? You're spooked. Totally natural. Natasha?
Joe and Sandy couldn't make it, so they sent us instead.
They sent you instead. Wait a minute. They sent you instead.
They caught some kind of bug. God, Joe and Sandy have been telling us all about you two for I don't know how long.
A long time.
A very long time.
I don't think Joe and Sandy ever mentioned knowing I'm sorry.
Salim.
A Salim and a Natasha.
You've been out of touch with your brother for too long, brother. They were really broken up. They couldn't make it tonight. I'd say call them up and ask them, but hey, are your cell phones as down as ours up here?
How do you know Joe and Sandy?
You know what's in here? Just for showing us your hospitality? It's this new tequila, $100 a bottle. Olé, right? Let's support those oppressed brothers churning this stuff out for 10 pesos a day. Neil, you want to pour?
You didn't answer me.
How do we know Joe and Sandy?
How do we know Joe and Sandy? How do we know them, Natasha?
Intimately.
Intimately. Good word. We know them intimately.
Neil.
Look, I'm very sorry, but I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
To leave? But, okay, I get it. You want some kind of proof that we're not just what?
Imposters.
Imposters. 10 points, Natasha. We're not imposters. We're the real thing. I'm sorry if I'm coming on strong. It's my personality, you know what I mean? God, how do you prove that you know somebody? Let's see. Where do I start? Do I start with Joe or Sandy? You know, she made him get these hotshot snow chains for the car. That is so Sandy. No imagination, but always thinking ahead. So rational. Listen, I'm sorry we barged in on you like this. Maybe you should leave, but hey, are you really going to turn two freezing strangers back out in the snow? Neil, you're the guy who inflicted torturama on the world. More killings per square frame than any movie in history. You're pouring blood in the aisles, man. Don't tell me you're scared. What are you scared of? What am I, the wrong color? What am I going to do to you, huh? If I was going to do something to you, I've already done it already, wouldn't I? So, do we leave or do we stay? I have a heart, Neil.
Well, we can't turn you out in this weather.
Turn them out, Neil.
Honey, I...
Turn them out.
It's a blizzard out there, honey.
Your wife is so sweet, really. She is a doll.
You know, with so much snow, it's like we're in a murder mystery here.
Natasha adores Agatha Christie. You know what I hate about murder mysteries? It's that everybody in them has got a secret. People don't have secrets. People are open books. I don't know you personally, Neil, but just looking at you, I'd say you're probably the kind of guy who makes lists, for example, lines his pencils up on the desk, likes things neat and tidy. Am I right? A Jack Daniels before dinner kind of guy? You're not the kind of guy who, what, secretly worked for the CIA once upon a time? You're not a guy who had a secret history of killing people. I mean, really killing people off screen. You don't have any real blood on your hands. You're in the entertainment industry. You have nothing to hide.
Send them away, Neil.
And Jenny, she probably made her usual dinner for tonight. Let's see, what would it be? Pork loin and some kind of special potato recipe and a cherry rhubarb pie for dessert? The perfect American housewife. Nothing to conceal. I'm sorry. There's that personality of mine again. I'm brash. I'm insensitive. I'm loud. Call me American.
You know, I have a gun in the house.
Oh, that's rich. What a liar. I have a gun in the house. Right, that's so cute. This isn't a movie. This is real life, Neil. And I'm your brother for the night. I'm a stand-in for Joe. Remember me? Your brother?
Where are Joe and Sandy?
They're very sick in bed, is where they are.
What have you done with them?
They can't move, is what they are. Aren't I your brother? Neil, come on. Am I your brother?
Sure.
Am I your brother? Am I your brother? Am I your brother?
You're my brother.
There, you see, how hard was that? Now we can talk about all those kids we used to beat up in the third grade. Just like old times. Well, brother, what do you say? We're here for the duration. You gonna play the good host here or what? You want to show me around the grounds?
Sure.
Sure what?
Sure, brother.
Attaboy.
You know what I love about murder mysteries? Is that everything in them seems to mean something. The people in murder mysteries are living in a significant world. Everything holding its breath. Waiting. The air is electric. And then, bang, It happens. The irrevocable. Whatever that is. Changing everything. It's kind of a poetry. To me, it's almost a religious feeling.
I don't want any more damn significance. I don't want it. I don't want it.
Poor Jenny, afraid of a nothing. Why? Why?
You have the wrong people.
Oh, you're the right people. Neil and Jenny. We're just here for dinner with you. And you have nothing to be afraid of. Really. Absolutely nothing.
Neil? Neil?
Absolutely nothing.
Now meet Liz Ellison's Gabrielle, played by Julie Standrovich.
Mr. Katzander, I guarantee I will be the friendliest, most dedicated greeter this Walmart has ever seen. I am such a people person. I worked with people all the time at my last job. Well, I had my own business, actually, designing alternative wedding dresses. I've just decided it's time for a change. Well, there was sort of a misunderstanding with my last client, a real bridezilla. Everybody gets a difficult customer once in a while, right? Well, this girl's daddy was paying for everything, so she wanted me to go all out. I made her the most gorgeous gothic ball gown you have ever seen. 15 yards of taffeta. It was a dress for a queen. She wanted it in burgundy. Now, do you know what burgundy looks like? Because I sure do. And when she comes in to pick it up, you know what she says? What is this? I can't get married in purple. I was completely professional. I told her it was what she asked for. I told her, sweetie, this is burgundy. And she starts using foul language. She says I ruined her wedding day and she's going to tell everyone she knows that they should never get a dress from me. And blah, 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 blah. But, well, she already paid and the wedding's in 3 days, so she has to take it. She's about to leave and something just comes over me. I had a venti cafe Americano on the counter. Hadn't even taken a sip yet. And just, well, all over that damn dress. And then, wouldn't you know, it turns out her daddy's a lawyer. Apparently, I caused her severe emotional distress. And the little twit must know a lot of people because business has been in the toilet. But I don't have any regrets. It felt so goddamn good seeing the look on that hussy's face. She had it coming. You know, Mr. Katzander, people just piss me off. They really, really do. Maybe you have an opening in the warehouse or something.
Everyone needs to belong. Next is Normanon by Warren Light with Alex Shapiro, Catherine Thornton, and Julie Standrovich.
Hi, my name is Judy Rogers.
Hi, I'm Bob Allen Jr.
And I'm Annie Ross. And though we may look different,
all three of us have something in common, a secret about our past.
A secret that, well, as we grew older, kept us isolated from others. You see, all three of us are adult children of normal parents. For years, I denied it. When my friends talked about their dysfunctional homes and codependent parents, I tried to mix in. I pretended that my childhood had also been one of constant instability and emotional trauma. But the truth was, I was living a lie. The truth is, my parents were normal, and so was I.
In college, my roommate Sylvia was having a hard time of it. She stayed inside our dorm room on the floor for 2 weeks, listening to Amy Mann CDs. One day I asked her to come out for a walk with me. I can't, she said. I'm depressed.
Depressed? I asked. What's that? You see, I'd never heard the word, and I had no idea what she was talking about. I felt so embarrassed.
I can relate to what Annie Ross is saying. At work, I used to wonder, am I the only one here not subject to mood swings or obsessive compulsive behavior? I didn't feel guilty about it or superior. I mean, guilt or shame or grandiosity never really solve anything. And we all have to do the best we can with what we've been given. But sometimes I did wonder, just for a little while, am I the only one? I enjoyed life and still do. But sometimes, not so often, not for any length of time, I felt a little alone until I found Normanon.
Yes, all three of us are grateful members of Normanon. Normanon, a support group for happy people. Healthy people who grew up in clean, well-lit homes. There aren't many of us.
And sometimes it helps to get together.
To talk about what it was like coming from those homes. How great the holidays were.
How much we miss Mom and Dad.
And Grandpa.
And the girl or fella next door.
Once a week or so, we get together to talk about feelings. Of course, we know feelings aren't facts, and feelings, good or bad, pass. And we all know, without question really, that everything always works out for the best. Still, on those days when everything isn't coming up roses, it's good to get together with people who understand.
Right now, you may be asking, how do I know if I'm an adult child of normal parents?
Well, if you have to ask, you're probably not. But we do have a short, handy checklist that can help you decide. Ask yourself the following questions.
Do you find yourself genuinely happy for the success of family or friends?
Do anniversaries and holidays fill you with a sense of joy?
Do you have 20/20 vision, a perfect dental history, and good skin?
Do you often find yourself telling the truth when a lie would do just as well?
If you answered yes to any or one of those questions, it's a good bet, not that any of us likes to bet, that you're one of us, an adult child of normal parents. If you're tired of being with people who act out or feel sorry for themselves or need to learn things you knew when you were four, maybe it's time you tried Normanon.
Call us.
We're all in the book.
Thanks.
Come on, guys. Let's go get some sodas.
Bye for now.
Meet Jonna Doyle in Wendy Wasserman's Workout.
Alright, ladies, are we ready for your workout? Let's start with buttock tucks. These are my favorite. Now lie back, breathe deep, big breath. Relax, feet forward. Remember, make those muscles burn. And lift and lower, and lift and lower. Squeeze it, push up, release. Push up, release. Really squeeze it, Denise. Lift up, and bounce, bounce, bounce. This is what I like to think about when I'm doing my workout. I think about how I got up at 4:30 in the morning and ran for 5 miles, and how great that run felt. Keep bouncing, up, down. I like to think about that brewer's yeast I gave my children for breakfast. Squeeze it, and how proud I am that the words French toast are never used in our house. I think about my husband's stamina. It's better now than when we were first got married because we're organized. Work deep, and I think about the novel I'm writing between 9 and 11 this morning, and the chain of appliance stores I'm opening at 12. I just think it's so important that we take charge of our own appliances.
Last week, I restored the electricity for the city of Fresno. And a year ago, I couldn't use a can opener. Just keep bouncing, Denise. And one, and two, and this afternoon after my yogurt shake. Ooh, I felt the burn that time. I'm going to learn ancient Egyptian so I can star in Nefertiti's story, which I am also producing, directing, writing, editing, and distributing. At 5 o'clock, I'm going to my daughter's dance recital, where my husband will announce his candidacy for governor, and I hope you will all vote for him. And I will announce the publication of my new workout book for children under 6 and their pets. On our way home, the entire family will stop at the home of a woman friend of mine for women's friendship and tofutti ice cream. Release, release, we're almost there. Don't give in. Push it, push it. And then my favorite part of the day, tuck in. Feel it all over. The children outside playing nonviolent baseball with radishes and zucchinis. My husband is preparing his part of the family meal and debating with Connie Chung and the 6 o'clock news by satellite. Just two more. Get ready to release. And it's time for my moment. Just me. And I sit down for the first time in the day on my favorite chair with my favorite quilt. And I take a deep breath and I cry, but just a little. And then I tuck in my stomach and pull up from that chair, vertebra by vertebra. And I take a deep inhalation and relax. And now we're ready for 50 more jumping jacks. And one, and two, and three. Let's go, Denise!
Last up, That's Marriage by Marissa Smith, based on a short story by Edna Ferber, with Cheryl Cusin, Heidi Slater, and John McManaman.
Terry, for God's sake, what's the matter?
Your elbow!
My elbow? What about it?
You...
I what? Spit it out, Terry.
You flapped it!
What?
You flapped it!
I flapped it.
You always do that. You flap it!
You screeched like that because I moved my elbow?
No, you flap. Because you scoop out your egg, you flap.
I do not flap.
No, you do. This is what you do. Bop, bop.
Oh, you're crazy. Screeching like a maniac over nothing.
It's not nothing. No siree.
Yes, it is nothing.
I can't watch you flapping anymore. It's driving me crazy.
Really? It drives you crazy? Well, you're driving me crazy.
Don't just repeat what I say, Orville.
And maybe you're crazy because you have nothing to do all day.
What did you say? What did you just say?
That's the trouble with half you women. You just roll around the house rotting.
You are a beast, an ungrateful, full of yourself, pompous, ignorant.
You can stay in your pajamas all day if you want.
I take care of the house. I cook for you, I shop, I iron, I do the laundry, I do everything.
Well, maybe you could think of getting a real job.
I was working before we were married.
And bring in some money, that would be nice.
But you wanted me to quit.
You were singing in a bar, Terry.
Oh, get off your high horse.
I mean something respectable.
I sang at the Drake once, and don't you forget it.
Some of your girlfriends are working. That Marjorie Shaw works at the Marshall Fields now.
How do you know where Marjorie Shaw works?
It's almost 1960, Terry. Not every woman is stuck in the kitchen.
I'm not stuck in the kitchen. I'm an excellent cook and Baker, and I haven't heard any complaints from you. And if I weren't so damn good, you wouldn't be...
Go ahead. Be what?
Fat. You wouldn't be so fat if you didn't love my cooking and my cinnamon buns so much.
I am husky. I am not fat.
You are mean and you flap and I hate you.
You hate me, huh? Then I'll leave so you don't have to look at me anymore.
Go ahead, leave. You're hardly home anyway.
Yeah, because I'm on the road slaving away to make a living.
You call sitting around in hotel lobbies slaving away?
I'm not sitting around. I'm networking. I'm building relationships.
And taking clients to fancy dinner and trying to sell them that stupid mimeograph machine.
Oh, it's not a mimeograph machine, Terry. How many times do I have to tell you?
It has a stupid name that I can never remember.
It's called a Xerox machine, and it's going to...
Xerox? Who could remember that? It doesn't even sound like English.
It's a Greek name. It means dry writing.
I don't see why you can't just use a plain old mimeograph.
Xerox is going to revolutionize the industry.
Sure. Like the Edsel? Like that?
Someday we are going to be rich. Rich as Croesus. I feel it in my bones.
Right. Just like you felt it in your bones with the Edsel?
You don't know anything, and you don't listen to me, and I'm leaving.
Good. Get out of here. I'm happy you're going.
And if you're so unhappy with me, why don't you go too?
Maybe I will. Maybe when you come home, I won't be here.
Yoo-hoo! Terry, will you share? Where are you going?
Are those margaritas?
Si, senorita. Two glasses, please. Can you stay?
It's 8 in the morning, Ruby.
Not in Mexico, it ain't. Please stay. Sit down.
Just for a little bit. And I thought you stopped drinking anyway.
I started up again. Plus, I read that a good place to find a man is AA.
Ruby, you're not going to find a decent man at AA. Are you kidding?
Why not? He's ready to change and get sober. And maybe I'll find a good one with a lot of liquid assets.
I can't believe I'm drinking this.
To you. And where are you going anyway?
Chicago. I'm getting a train. Orville and I had a fight, and I'm leaving.
You had a fight with that big pussycat?
He was very mean to me, and besides, I can't stand him anymore. He just drives me round the bend.
Mean to you? I don't believe it. What did you fight about?
It's so stupid, really.
It's always something stupid.
Really?
Yeah, it was a really dumb thing that broke me and Jim up.
What was it?
So dumb.
Tell me.
When he ate corn on the cob, he would close his eyes, and it absolutely drove me wild. Don't laugh.
I'm not laughing. I understand completely.
Yeah. He'd get a big old ear of corn and butter and salt it, and just before he'd take the first bite, he'd close his eyes and smile, like he was going to heaven or something. And it just vexed me up something awful. I couldn't stand it.
Because he closed his eyes when he ate corn on the cob?
And smiled.
And smiled?
Yep. It was the end of us. I yelled, and we got into a big argument, and he said things that we could never take back. Horrible things. Things I'd do anything to take back. And 9 months later, little Ernie was born.
You were pregnant?
Yes, that's why I was so out of my head. I found out the next day. I didn't feel sick or anything. I was just mad. I tried to tell Jim that's why I lost my temper and all, but he wouldn't take me back. He'd seen the wild woman that lived inside me and it scared him to death.
Orville flapped. He flapped.
He flapped?
Right before he took his soft-boiled egg out of the shell, he flapped his elbows like this. Bop, bop. It just made me crazy.
I see it. He flapped.
So I'm going to go to Chicago and see if I can't get my old job back.
Your old job, singing at the Drake?
Yeah, at the Drake.
That is so glamorous. Who'd want to live out here in the sticks when you could be singing at the Drake?
Right, right.
All I can say, honey, is that I wish I'd kept my trap shut about that damn corn on the cob.
Do you think I'm pregnant?
Well, I wouldn't know, would I?
I mean, I could be pregnant. Gosh, I never thought about that, but...
You better go to the doctors, hon.
Terry? Honey?
Oh, Orville.
I'm sorry, Terry. I said some awful things.
Oh, I did. I'm sorry.
No, no, old girl. What's there to cry about? Don't, honey, don't. It's all right.
How did you get here so fast?
I only got as far as Ashland, then I turned back. I had to come home and square things with you. Terry, my mind just wasn't on my work. I kept thinking how I talk, what I said.
Oh, Orville, don't. I can't bear... Have you had your breakfast?
No, I lost my appetite. Something awful.
Well, you just wash up and sit down. I've got your breakfast all ready for you.
I think I'm getting it back.
I was just praying that if I made it, you would come and eat it.
Those cinnamon buns smell like heaven.
I'll put some extra frosting on them like you'd like.
Sometimes I look at you and think, how could a big lug like me get an angel like you?
Orville, I take back every horrible thing I said.
Now, you hush. We both said some bad things.
I just lost my head, Orville. I went a little nuts.
Don't think of it, Terry. Everybody goes a little loco sometime. Lord, I'm faint with hunger now.
Here you are. Eggs and bacon, just the way you like them.
Boy, does that look good.
And the cinnamon buns. Oh, Orville.
Wait, Terry. Don't, honey, don't.
You're wonderful.
It's okay, Terry. Now sit down. It's okay.
Listen, Orville.
I'm listening, Terry.
I've got something to tell you. There's something you've got to know.
Yes, I know it, Terry.
What do you mean you know? How could you know?
I knew you'd be out with it if I just waited.
But how?
I can always tell when you have something important on your mind. What you do is you always take a spoon of coffee and look at it and kind of juggle it back and forth in the spoon and then dribble it back into the cup again without tasting it. Used to make me nervous when we were first married, but now I know it just means you're worried about something, so I wait, and pretty soon...
You know what I'm worried about?
I think so.
But how could you, Orville?
Well, Terry, it's my business, you know. I've got to be a bit of a student of human behavior. Every salesman is. You've got to pay close attention to people and try to understand what they're not saying. And I got thinking, what would make you all, you know, emotional? And then it came to me in a flash.
Oh, Orville, you're a genius.
I don't know about that.
Are you happy about it?
Happy? I'm over the moon.
I'm happy too, Orville. And I know you'll be a great dad. I'm positive.
It's funny. I was thinking of bringing you a puppy to keep you company when I'm on the road, but now I guess I don't have to.
And the timing is perfect, Orville. You want to know why?
Yeah, why is that?
Because I believe you about that whatchamacallit machine, the Xerox.
You too?
Yes, I believe you. I feel it in my bones.
Thank you, honey.
I think, Orville, I think we're going to be rich.
I think so too, Terry. I've got a really good feeling about this.
Xerox, I think it's catchy.
Yes, yes it is. Xerox. Sounds like the future.
We hope you've enjoyed A Funny Thing Happened. This program was produced and directed by Catherine Thornton and Julie Standrovich. Tune in next time for Radioactive Theater, a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.